Okay, I don't have to pay attention to the clock, right? When you're in the district office, you're allowed to preach 2 hours. And I've condensed it for you. I think you have a great musicians. I'm like, wow. So, and I thought the choir, yeah. And the choir and the five gentlemen that sang, I was like, wow, there's some musical talent here. So, Pastor Bob, do you sing like that? It was good. One of my favorite churches, I get to preach all around the district, but there's a church that has me back like every year, and I do revival services, is Union City, where your pastor pastored before he came here. And that is one of my favorite churches. The people are just super, and you did a good job there, Pastor. Pastor Wood is back there. That's my spiritual father in a lot of ways. And I was thinking, for those that don't know, 26 years ago, I planted a church in West Newton and then planted in Charleroi. But when I was in West Newton, Sunday evening, our service was at 7:30, but yours was at 6. So I would come over here and have church service. That's when you were in the nice sanctuary over there. Okay? And so I would come here at 6 and get a good sermon, steal it, and then go back to West Newton. But I got ministered to and learned a lot from Pastor Wood. So, love you, brother. I'm going to talk, I kind of changed the sermon up a little bit because of what happened in this last week in Haiti. My wife and I, for our 25th wedding anniversary 2 years ago, went on a Royal Caribbean cruise, our first and only cruise at this point. And the Royal Caribbean company owns a resort area in Haiti. And so that was one of the places we went to. And in fact, Royal Caribbean hires about a third of their workers on their cruise lines come from the country of Haiti. And so we got to know they're very friendly, gracious, proud people. And we got to become good friends with some of them. And while we were on the island of Haiti, we were talking to them. It's an African-American country. And they're very proud because they are the first American country in the world that declared independence. And I believe it was from England. And they did it before the United States did it. And so they're very proud. They're like, well, what took you so long, you know? And we were first, and, you know. I guess England went in there. They were natives at that point. Actually, let me back up. England went in there and I think killed the whole population, took the gold and silver, and they worked the mines and all by African Americans they had brought in. And that's how that country went African American. The original people were all killed off. So they've been there like 300 years or something. So, but very, very gracious people. They're nominal Catholics, three quarters of them, but half of them practice voodoo. We do have about 70 to 90 Alliance churches there, and it's a great place to share faith. It's a poor country. When we were talking to the workers on the cruise, they make $2 an hour is their pay. And yet $2, when we were talking to them, $2 an hour made them wealthy. They sent most of their money back to their families in Haiti, and that put them in like upper class. To the people in that island, their savior was to be hired by Royal Caribbean and get $2 an hour. So it is a very poor country, and my heart goes out to them. So with a cruise in mind, I've decided to shift my sermon and talk about another cruise that happened 98 years ago called the Titanic. And do we have... So I would like us to go on a ride back in time and travel on the Titanic, if you don't mind. The more I kind of researched and studied, and I even learned more today in the office from one of the elders, but the more I researched and learned about this ship, the more I realized, boy, there's some deep message that God was giving the world back then about the events that occurred around the sinking of the Titanic ship. And so let me... and get in my notes here a little bit. As I began to study about the sinking of this unsinkable ship, I came to the conclusion that it was almost as if man were saying to God at that time, we now have become the masters of our own destiny, the captains of our own fate. No longer will we be afraid of the elements. No longer will we be frightened by the oceans and the dark deep sea. But through our intelligence, our wisdom, our understanding, we are now able to conquer our own universe with a ship that is unsinkable. The captain of the ship, the designers of the ship, the United States partook in building this ship, boasted that God himself couldn't sink this ship. Now, don't you think that'd be scary? I mean, that went out in all the papers. You want to be on the first voyage? The 9 wealthiest people in the world were on this ship, you know. But God himself couldn't sink it. And on its maiden journey, the first journey, it sunk. And it was held up to the world as a spectacle that maybe we need God after all to watch over us. You know, I think about the United States. And sometimes I think the United States is like a big Titanic. And it's kind of like we've become proud over the last, I mean, I've noticed a shift kind of in the last 30 or 40 years. And it's like we don't need God anymore. We are the best country in the world. We're proud. We're brilliant. We're smart. We're, you know, we're everything, okay? And we're going to take God out of school. We're going to take God out of government. And we're going to take God. We can't have Christmas scenes. We're going to eliminate God everywhere, okay? But here's what's happened. I mean, now we have AIDS and bird flu and swine flu and all kinds of problems. Our economy is crashing. We're in a war with one little country called Iraq and Afghanistan that with all of our army and resources, like, we still haven't been able to take care of this. And we've been over there for years. And, I mean, can you imagine? The rest of the world is saying, this United States that's so great and powerful can't even handle a little Iraq. What if we had gone against China or Russia or someone that really had some force when our whole army can't even control one little nation, okay? And I just keep thinking to myself, now, you know, we're not the number one nation anymore. China is. I mean, they are clearly, they're going to, I'm giving you the Toomey prediction. They're going to own us in 10 years. I hope you know that, okay? Because we're already selling out to them, for them to help us. We are not the number one nation anymore. And sometimes I wonder if God's like, you know, United States, maybe you need me after all. Do you have to go down? Do you have to sink to see that? And maybe we need him after all. Church attendance. We were out at Colorado Springs, which is the headquarters of the Alliance, and this statistical expert came in that is analyzing Christianity in the United States. And he informed us, which we already knew, because I have the statistic for every county in Pennsylvania, that only 20% of Americans now attend church 2 times a month, okay? That's a faithful Christian. You, those of us that are older, do you remember the time you'd go to Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, and Wednesday? And that was the basic. Then you'd add more stuff. Do you remember those days? Reverend Bill Wood, my ex-boss, okay? When I planted my first church, I had 10 people, okay, at West Newton. Well, now I had, I'd say 10 adults. Some of them had 18 kids, and so I had like 28, 30 altogether. First service, you know what he told me I had to do? What do you think? I'm planting a brand new church just out of seminary. He goes to me, Joe, you will teach Sunday school. You'll have Sunday morning. You'll have Sunday evening, and you'll have Wednesday, okay, right from day one. It's like, yeah, wow. I preached all my sermons that I had in like 3 weeks. Then I got desperate. Only 20% of Americans go to any church. Catholic, Mormon, Protestant, Lutheran, Jehovah's Witness. 20%. 80% are unchurched in our country. This guy that was there says we are on track and it will, he says it's going to happen. We're going to go in the next 10 to 15 years, we're going to go from 20% of Americans go to church to 6%. Okay? We're going to drop to 6%. Why do you think the churches We're going to go from 20% to 6% attending church in the next 10 to 15 years. The faithful are going to go to heaven, brother. They're not going to pass away. They're going, okay? The people that are 65 and 70, the builder generation that is very faithful to God, in fact, they probably built most of the churches in the country. They're the ones who had a deep commitment to God. They are all going to be going to heaven. And it is going to gut Christendom in the United States like you cannot believe. In more ways than one. Not only are most of our churches, praise the Lord, I see some young people here, okay? But in most of our churches, the youth group are the 60-year-olds, okay? And when this occurs over the next 10 or 15 years, we are going to be shutting down churches. They're also the most faithful in attending church. They're the most faithful in giving to the Lord's work, supporting missions and everything. And the church is going to be gutted like you cannot believe. And the younger generations are not coming into church. They are not being reached. The 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, the 50-year-olds, okay? They're lost. And we're going to be devastated. Now, this expert says, we are trending that way, and in 20 years, we will be down to 2% of Americans will go to church. 2%. Now, just so you understand, that's all the Christian denominations, and even among them, not everyone knows Jesus. For instance, in Pennsylvania, 20% attend church. Now, it varies from county to county. The highest county has about 23%. The lowest county has about 18%. Out of those that go to church, only 4% know Jesus Christ as their Savior. So in Pennsylvania, 96% of the people are lost and do not know Jesus as their friend. Did you hear the choir singing? I am a friend of God's. Only 4% of the people in Pennsylvania have God as their friend. Okay? So let's get back to the Titanic. I know I'm getting sidetracked here. Okay. So let's go to the Titanic. It was advertised. How many have been on a cruise? Liked it? Did anyone not like it? Okay, we all loved it. It is fabulous. This was advertised as fantastic. It had tennis courts. It had a roller rink, and I love roller skating. It had gymnasium, ballrooms. It had it was 11 stories high. It was the largest ship in the world, including larger than any military ship. 11 stories. It was 888 feet long. It had elevators, which in New York City they didn't have elevators yet. Okay, this was cutting edge technology. It had a dartboard game thing. I think, is that what it's called? Dartball. It probably had dartball. And the men that were involved in the dartball on this ship are the ones that were healthy and were able to swim to safety. Okay, you don't follow that, huh? All right, well. And yet, on its maiden journey, it hit an iceberg that kind of sliced it and hit the rivets and put a slice through it, through 300 feet, and the ship sank. All right, I better look at my notes here. April 14th, 1912, 11:40 at night. The unbelievable disaster in history took place. The great Titanic, pride of the White Star Fleet and of the United States, ran into an iceberg. There were 2,340 people on board. 705 were saved. 1,635 went down with the ship. Now, after the ship had sunk, there was an editorial cartoon in the paper. And go to the next slide. And this cartoon was there, and underneath it said, "Fact defeats theory." And the sinking of the Titanic, you might say, was a time when the entire world came to realize that fact defeats theory. Theory said that the ship was unsinkable, but what was the fact? It sunk, yes, okay. Theory said there were no icebergs in the immediate area, but the fact is there was at least one large iceberg with a hook to it. Theory said the lookouts on the crow's nest would have ample time to warn the captain to steer the ship away from the iceberg, but in fact there wasn't enough time to steer away. Theory said that 66,000 tons of Titanic traveling at 18 knots could cut through any ice or iceberg that it would hit. But the fact is that when it did hit the ice basically cut through the ship instead. You know, the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And see, this to me is like the iceberg. Fact defeats theory. And men have all kinds, men and women, have all kinds of theories about God. You know, one theory is, you know, no one's ever going to know my sin. But the fact is, God says, be sure your sin will find you out, either in this lifetime or the next one, when you stand before the Lord. Theory says, well, I'm a pretty good person. I think I'm going to get to heaven on my good works. Now, the fact is that it says in the Word of God in Ephesians that no one is saved by their good works. It's by the grace of God. It's because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross so that no one can boast. No one's going to get to heaven and boast, hey, I earned my way to heaven because I was the pastor of the Norman Alliance Church. Sorry, Pastor Bob. We're only going to get to heaven because of the grace and the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Theory says, well, you know, even if I don't even think there is a hell. That's a good theory. But the fact is, Jesus talked more about hell than he did about heaven. And then some say, well, even if I wind up in hell, I think there'll be a way to get out. Great theory, but the fact is, Jesus says there's a great gulf fixed between those in hell and those in heaven, and you can't cross over either those to hell to heaven or heaven to hell. You can't cross over this great gulf is fixed. See, fact defeats theory. Well, there was the folly of unpreparedness. Originally, the Titanic was only supposed to have a couple lifeboats on board. Now, why is that? Why do you think they were not going to have lifeboats? Yeah. Why would you put lifeboats on an unsinkable ship? So, but it turns out that 20 lifeboats wound up on the ship. Now, does anyone know how the Titanic wound up with 20 lifeboats when they originally were only supposed to have two or three? We have to thank the decorators. They finished the boat and the exterior decorators instead of interior decorators. We're looking at the Titanic. Oh, there's one of those lifeboats. And they were going, something's not right as we're decorating it. You know, we're so used to seeing lifeboats that we need to put some on as decorative lifeboats to make it look right. And so that's how 20 lifeboats wound up on the ship as decorations. And then and the interior decorator said, you know what, to make it really convenient, if you could put a plug in the bottom of the lifeboats so when it rains, you can unscrew the plug and the rain can go through the boat, you know. So, because it's just decorative, okay? Turned out that one of the lifeboats, the plug was not put in. And so, unfortunately, when that lifeboat was lowered into the water and the people got into it, they discovered they got into a mini Titanic, okay, and went down. And I tell you what, I feel sad, you know, I think of those people thinking, oh, we're getting saved, only to go down in the lifeboat. And it reminded me of, you know, people in the United States are searching for spiritual life, especially with the economy and everything is so unsure. They're seeking and searching for spiritual things. But unfortunately, because the church is so silent and we don't talk about Jesus anymore, the world is stepping into lifeboats, spiritual lifeboats, where the plug is missing. And so they're stepping into astrology and Mormonism. And the big thing with the youth now is wizardry and new, all these kind of, everyone's making up their own religion. And they're stepping in these lifeboats that the plug is missing. They are going to sink. There is only one lifeboat you want to get into that the plug is there. And it's the lifeboat of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. In Acts 4:12, Peter said, there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved but the name of Jesus. It is not Buddha. It is not Confucianism. It is not Allah or anyone else. There is only one boat, one lifeboat you want to get in that the plug's in place, and that's Jesus. Well, let's talk about life. Oh, by the way, I want you to keep in mind, the average lifeboat could hold 60 people. All right, let's go to the life preserver. Believe it or not, there wasn't enough life preservers on the boat either. Why would that be? All right, it was unsinkable. It turned out that I told you the 8 wealthiest people in the world were on this ship that went down with the ship. Has anyone ever been to the Guggenheim Museum in New York City or ever hear of that? Mr. Guggenheim was on the ship and went down. How many buy jeans? Any of you buy Levi jeans? Raise your hand. How many never have bought jeans? Raise your hand. How many of you never raise your hand in church? Raise your hand. All right. The smart ones. Those are the smart ones. Okay. Well, for all of you that buy jeans, Levi Strauss, the creator of it, was on the ship and went down with the ship. So every time you buy a pair of jeans, you give money to his estate, I guess. Okay. But the richest man on board the ship was John Jacob Astor. Is that how do you say it? Aston? Astor. That guy. We'll call him John. By the way, David, where's David? I like Rev. I can live with Rev. Okay, so your dad's going, he forgot your name. I said, but I like Rev. I could. John, they compared his wealth at that time to Bill Gates. And John makes Bill Gates look poor. Okay? That's how wealthy this guy was, the wealthiest guy. Well, he, at first, they offered, you know, the wealthy guys the life jackets, and John, it's unsinkable ship, you're panicking for no reason, come on. At the end, when the ship's going down, and by the way, Pastor Bob, I see you have a life jacket. I'm John. I'll give you $1 million if you give me your life jacket. What do you think? No, you greedy thing. I know you're holding out. All right, $10 million for your life jacket. See, at that point, no price was big enough to buy anything. So, and you can't buy your salvation, by the way. Nice try, but. So at the end, I said to John, you're the richest person in the world. How come you don't have a life jacket? And he went, I didn't think I'd need one. And he went down with the ship. It reminds me, someday when people will die, and we're standing in judgment before Jesus Christ, and you're in line, and someone says to you, why didn't you give your heart to Jesus? Why don't you have Jesus as your Savior, your life jacket? And you go, I didn't think I need him so quick. I thought I'd live old. I had no idea I was going to have a car accident at 20 years old and be killed. I had no idea I was going to have that heart attack and drop over at 60. I thought I was going to give my heart to Jesus when I got older. I had no idea I was going to get cancer. I had no idea there was going to be an earthquake. You know, all these people that put it off. Procrastination. Let's talk about procrastination, because that was, do you remember Katrina, Hurricane Katrina? And the devastation that has caused, and they're still rebuilding. How long before the devastation, before the hurricane came, did the people know this is bad news? This is a hurricane level 5. It's going to be horrible. How long did the people know? They knew for 5 days. So, first day, some of the people, all right, let's head out. When do you think people decided to leave? Like the last day, okay? And guess what happened when everyone decided to leave the last day? Total jam up, okay? And that's why many didn't make it out and thousands of people lost their life. Because we procrastinate like crazy. So here's those lifeboats. Now, I told you that there are 20 lifeboats and they each held 60. So how many people, you mathematicians and young people, you're not allowed to use your cell phones. I know, it's tough for them. I love going into Walmart. Let me see, 10% of a dollar. What is that? That'd be 10 cents off 90 cents. How did you know that? Okay, well, anyway. So 20 lifeboats, 60 people. How many people should be saved? See, I heard the older people say that, right? 1,200. And how many people were saved? 705. So why is that? And it's because of procrastination. The first lifeboat left with only 10 people in it. Because that's all the crew could convince to get into that lifeboat. Because the rest of the people were saying, now I know we've got Hindsight? I guess. The rest of people are going, come on, I'm not getting that lifeboat. You know, this ship isn't going to sink. It's, you know. And that's, by the way, the first one left with 10, the second one left with 12, the third one left with 15, and it went like that for a while. Now, just let me share the statistics here with you. I should pick on this side of the church. Okay. I've been working them over. It's your turn. Here's the percentage of people that got saved. 72.8% of the women were saved on the Titanic. 50.4% of the children were saved. And 19.8% of the men got saved. Now, I know you're going to find this hard to believe. Listen up to this. Back then, this is 98 years ago, they had a belief that's incredible. Men, listen up to this. It's unbelievable. They would say women before men and children. They would like honor women. Like they would say to their kids, kids, women before us. That's why more women were saved even than kids. Because they would like open up the door for women. They would treat them with like this respect and honor and like, you know. But times have changed. And so that's why there was more women than children and men. Now, how did 20% of the men get saved? Those rascals. How did they get into the lifeboats? What do you think? Yeah, they were. I'm a little child. They were the men who got into the first lifeboats. None of the women would get into the first lifeboats. And here's why. This is the women, for you women. You understand that this was at night, 11 o'clock at night, and everyone was in the ballrooms and dancing. The women were decked out in furs and necklaces. You had to be very wealthy to be on the Titanic as a passenger. And so when the crew said, hey, you got to crawl down this rope and get into the lifeboat, the women, you're kidding. I got heels on. I'm not crawling into that lifeboat. And I've got a really nice dress on. And some of the women said, you know what? I'm going to go back and change into my lifeboat outfit. And they went down because they went back to change. Okay? So that's why the men, some of the men got in and said, you know, I'll take the chance, just in case. And they got in. You with me? There was a series of explosions that then occurred on the Titanic. And then everyone decided, maybe I will get in the lifeboat after all, including the women. Okay? Maybe I can slip off my heels and get down in there. By the way, I was thinking, if I was on the Royal Caribbean cruise and it hit an iceberg and was sinking, who would be in the lifeboats? And there was not enough. There's only 20 lifeboats. Who do you think would be in the lifeboats today? Huh? What is she? You're right. It would be the crew, which amazingly I think it'd be all the men. Because we have a new philosophy, the strongest, the fittest, you know, women, you're just equal with us. And if you can't fight your way in that lifeboat, too bad. And the men are going to be throwing out the women and children. Bye, dear. I love you. I'll remember you sometime. You know. I noticed with the Haiti thing, watching, you know, the trucks would come in with food and all, I noticed it's all the men fighting. The kids and the women are like, and the men are in there grabbing the stuff. Now, maybe they're grabbing it for their wives and kids, but my wife would say, look at the men. They are not waiting for the women or children at all. They're just in there grabbing the supplies and stuff. And I'm like, well, that's what we're taught now. Darwinian evolution, you know, we don't have honor anymore. All right, I'm getting sidetracked. The ship goes down. It was horrible. It's a huge coffin. That night, Christians, who were Christians on board, they were probably doing the most witnessing that they had probably ever done in their life. The newly called pastor of Moody Bible Church in Chicago was on board, Reverend Hooper. And as the ship was going down, they saw him pleading with a young man to give his heart to the Lord as he went to go to heaven. There was an old-time preacher that was in the water, and he was going from piece of debris to piece of debris and piece of ship to piece of ship, and he was yelling to the people, give your heart to Jesus, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, put your faith in him. And finally, people in a lifeboat heard him going, I'm going down, I'm going down. And his last words were, as he went under, no, I'm going up. and the angels took him to glory. One of my favorite stories is, I have lots, I've been collecting them. One of my favorite stories is this gentleman shows up at a church in Hamilton, Ontario, in Canada. Let me make sure I'm giving you the right location so you don't work me over later. All right. Hamilton, Canada. I don't know if it's in Ontario or not. Hamilton, Canada. And this gentleman's 4 years. He gets up in front of this church. And he says, I know you don't know who I am, but it's taken me 4 years to find you. I was on the Titanic that awful night. And I was thrown in the water. And this guy floats over to me. And he says to me, hey, are you saved? And I said to this guy, no, they were talking. This guy's name was John Harper. And he says, no, and he tells me, you got to believe in Jesus. You got to give your heart to Jesus. And then the waves took him away. But about 5 minutes later, the waves brought him back by me. And he said, did you accept Jesus? Have you asked him in your heart? And I went, no, I haven't. And then he sees John Harper die. But he says, there with 3 miles of water under me, I gave my heart to Jesus. And then he goes on the story how he gets saved into one of the lifeboats. And so he comes to this church. He says, it's taken me 4 years to find where John Harper attended church. And so he's at his church. And there's his wife, his widow, and his kids, and all the people of the church. And he says, I just want you to know that I'm John Harper's last convert, that he led me to the Lord before he went to heaven. And, of course, the whole church is broken up and crying. There was a ship. There was a freighter that was only 10 miles away that could have saved all the people on the Titanic. And after they had a senatorial investigation in Washington, D.C., and they brought the captain in and said, hey, you better answer why you didn't save all the people on the Titanic. And so the senator said, hey, didn't you hear the SOS over the wireless? And the captain said, well, at midnight we shut off our wireless so we can sleep. And then they said, well, didn't you see the ship sinking in the water? And the captain said, yeah, we did see it sinking in the water. But it was boasted that this was the fastest traveling boat there was. And so we just thought it was going off the horizon. We didn't realize it was dropping, you know, level by level, just traveling off the horizon. Well, didn't you see the flares? And I have a couple slides here of the Titanic with the flares. Didn't you see the flares for help go up? And the captain said, yeah, we did. But it turned out that each night on the Titanic, right before the flares went up, the Titanic had a fireworks show. And so they shot off all these fireworks. And then a while later, these flares went off, and the people on the freighter said, oh, more fireworks, some leftover fireworks that didn't go off. And that's why the freighter didn't go. So I was thinking, wow, you know, I'm wondering why we aren't reaching people for Jesus, why the Church of Jesus Christ of the United States, why we're not reaching people. And I think maybe we have our wireless turned off and we're not listening to the voice of the Spirit speaking to us. If you would turn on your wireless, here's what I think you would hear. You would hear Jesus going, Church, I came to seek and to save the lost. I came to die on the cross for people's sins, to reach people. I reached you. And then when I left to go to heaven, I told you, go and make disciples. You go share the good news. You tell other people about you. I gave my own life. I went to the cross and suffered hell for this mission. What are you doing? Can you help me in reaching people for the Lord? Is your wireless on? Do you feel the heart of God the Father? The Father's broken. The Father's going, man, I gave my son for people to come to Jesus. I gave my son. You know, what are we doing? Can we share our faith with Jesus? 2 Peter in your Bibles. I'm just getting to the sermon. 2 Peter chapter 3. I know. When you're in the district, you're allowed to preach hours. 2 Peter chapter 3. Now, I want to break some bad news to you. Because you thought I was preaching about this Titanic. 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm going to start in verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. It says, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. God destroyed the earth with the flood, which there is worldwide evidence that there was a worldwide flood. Verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for what? For fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of ungodly men. I'm going to break the news to you. We are on a planet that you may as well label the Titanic. There's a destiny that is coming when the earth is going to hit into the iceberg of God's judgment. And the signs, Jesus gave us signs. And read the book of Revelation. It's scary because you can see we are getting closer and closer to hitting that iceberg when God's going to judge. Read the book of Revelation. We're talking about Haiti, how horrible it is. In the book of Revelation, you'll see in the first seals, one third of the earth is destroyed in one judgment. And then later on, another quarter of the earth is... And you can see we're moving closer and closer. The disciples came to Jesus, Matthew 24, verse 7 and 8. And they said, hey, how do we know when the end is coming? And Jesus said, nation will war against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. And these are the beginning of the birth pains. It just scares me how close we are getting. Now, why hasn't it happened yet? Verse 8. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to, what? Perish, but everyone to come to repentance. That's why he hasn't come back. That's why he hasn't started Revelation yet, because he's patient. He doesn't want anyone to perish. Go on to my slide on the time machine. Let's say you've invented a time machine in your garage, in your spare time, okay? And so you finally get in it, and you spin the wheel, and you go back in time. You don't know where you're going to land, and you land on the Titanic the night it's going to go down. Okay, you with me? And you forgot to bring extra plutonium, so you're stuck. All right, so you're on the Titanic. It's 3 hours before it hits the iceberg. Tell me, and this is school, so you got to raise your hand. Okay? Tell me what you would do. Okay? Raise your hand, someone, and tell me what you would do. Before I pick on this, this will be like school, too. I pick on the... Go to the captain. How many of you say you would go to the captain to warn him? Raise your hand. All right. All of you, which is about a fourth of you, here's what happens to you. The captain says, you've obviously had too much to drink, brother. Do you not know this is an unsinkable ship? You're unstable. Crew in the brig. And all of you go down with the ship because you're locked up. Okay? Now, does anyone else have another idea? Everyone's like, no. Jump in the boat! You're close. I would do it, but I don't know if I would jump in. I'm thinking I'd get into it while it's still up, you know, hanging. So I'd get in it. And then when they lower it down, hey, what are you doing? Oh, sorry, I'm here. I got my picnic and get into the boat. Everyone with me? And then from within the boat, once I'm in the boat, then I'm yelling to the people, come down into the boat. I recommend you come down. You with me? From inside the boat. All right. You know, I know what's going to happen in the future because I read the book of Revelation, and I know Jesus wins at the end. But it doesn't scare me a whole lot. It does scare people who don't know Jesus because they're scared to death. But why doesn't it scare me that much? A little bit, but because I'm in the boat. Okay, I know the earth is a Titanic, but you see, I'm in the lifeboat. And what's my plug? Jesus Christ. Okay? And so I'm in the boat. I know, you know, these things are going to happen. The CNN, there was this guy that the building had fallen on him, and he's like trapped down below. And I don't know if he made it or not, but CNN was there, and they lower this mic through all this stuff down to him to say, you know, what can we do? How can we help you or whatever? And he says into the mic, I was surprised they put this on TV. The guy goes, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I know where I'm going. You know, and it was like, what a testimony. Obviously, a born-again Christian, you know. He's in the lifeboat, okay? How about you? Are you in the lifeboat? Have you personally given your heart to Jesus Christ? The Bible says today is the day of God's favor. Today is God's patient because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all of us to give our heart to Jesus. Because, see, Jesus died for us to pay for our sins, suffered hell in our place. And you know what? As the choir sang, it's because God wants us to be friends with him. It's an amazing truth to be friends with God. So, I'm going to ask you, are you in the lifeboat of Jesus Christ? Have you given your heart to him? Maybe someone drags you to church. Your spouse brings you here because she won't cook your meal if you don't come. Or you kids, you have to come because your parents make you and you can't wait till you turn 18 so you can say, I'm not going to church anymore. Whatever. But this will be the best decision you will ever make in your life to give your heart to Jesus Christ. Because, I mean, not only do you get to go to heaven and not only do you find peace and forgiveness, but you will meet the Creator who created you, and it's a wonderful relationship. So let's bow our heads. Let's close our eyes, and Christians praying. If you're here this morning and you've never personally given your heart to Jesus, I'm going to pray a prayer out loud, and I encourage you to pray along with me silently in your heart to get into the lifeboat of Jesus Christ. I'll pray out loud. You pray silently in your heart. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm not even worthy to go to heaven. But I thank you that you came to the cross, took my sins upon yourself, and suffered my hell in my place. And I open my heart to you right now, Lord. I want to repent from living my own life, and I want to follow after you, Lord Jesus. I want to be a follower of Christ. And I open up my heart, Jesus, and ask that you would come in and be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins. I want to be a friend with you, Jesus. Help me to follow you this day forward. With heads bowed and eyes closed, Pastor Bob and myself would love to be able to just keep you in prayer. If you prayed that prayer along with me in your heart, I'd like you to just slip up your hand, and after I see you, put your hand down and say, I gave my heart to Jesus here this morning. So if you pray that, just slip your hand up now and put it down. God bless you over there. God bless you, sister, and God bless you, brother, in the middle. God bless you, sister. Anyone else, just slip up your hand. Join the four that have raised their hand here. Anyone else, you gave your heart to Jesus this morning. Just slip up your hand and put it down after I see you. Okay, if everyone would look up. You're not leaving yet. I know. Go. For the four that gave your heart to Jesus, I just want to encourage you. The Bible will come alive to you. Open up the Bible. Begin to read in the book of John, the Gospel of John. It will be amazed how it will come alive to you. You want to begin to pray and talk to Jesus and, of course, come to the Norwin Alliance Church, the best church in this area. Christians, here's my challenge to you. I told you the 19 lifeboats moved away from the Titanic, and they grouped together, and they noticed that there were, that they had 700 people. So how many empty seats did they have? They had 500 empty seats. So it was almost obvious to them that they were only half full, the lifeboats. And so, by the way, do you guys have any empty seats in your lifeboat here? Okay. So they noticed, hey, you know, we got empty seats. And they're like talking about going back to rescue the people, okay, that are now in the water. But here's what was going on in the water. You got 1,600 people in the water, and they are screaming bloody murder. They're all in a frosty cone. The water was around the iceberg was like a snow cone. Okay? They're all freezing. They're swearing. They're yelling at God. They're yelling to be saved. You can imagine. It wasn't a calm, cool situation. You understand? 1,600 people were realizing they were going to be dead soon. And most of those people probably didn't know Jesus. So they didn't have any peace or, you know, that's scary. Okay? So, but the people in the lifeboat got scared because of the screaming and yelling and they were like, if we go back, they might tip us out of our lifeboat and then we'll be lost. It turns out it was very hard to tip over these lifeboats, if not impossible, okay? But fear overcomes people. And I think about churches. You know, sometimes churches don't reach out because they get this fear. Like, you know, what if we actually start reaching the people out there? They're different. They talk different. They dress different. They'll act different. They won't know our ways. It's scary. And so churches don't reach out. Only 1 out of 100 churches reaches out. 1 out of 100. So the lifeboats are all talking, and they decide it's too scary, except for, and here's what I want you to remember, except for lifeboat number 14. Okay, all the lifeboats had numbers 1 to 20. Lifeboat number 14, the people said in lifeboat 14, we're going back. We're going back. So they went back, and they're the only lifeboat that filled up with people. Just one hour later, the cries died down, and the rest of the lifeboats said, hey, let's go back. It doesn't seem so bad anymore. Yeah, we don't hear them yelling and screaming. And so when the other lifeboats went back, guess what? They just waited 1 hour, by the way. Guess what? The people were all dead. Okay? They were all dead. Now, can you imagine being the people in lifeboat 14 that made the decision to go back and help others? How would you feel? Well, you'd feel sad when you think of the other lifeboats, but aren't you glad you weren't one of the ones that waited? And you went back and filled up your lifeboat and did everything you could. Do you think you could live with yourself? I mean, what if you were in one of those other lifeboats and realized you waited 10 minutes and how selfish almost you would feel, how horrible that people died because you didn't go in. Right? So here's my challenge, Norman Alliance. What lifeboat are you? Are you lifeboat number 14? Only 1 out of 100 churches in the United States makes that decision and says, yes, we're going to be lifeboat number 14. Even though it's scary, even though it's rough, even though it means we need to pray, we need to serve, we need to work, we need to, you know, it's worth it. So when you get to heaven, you're going to stand before Jesus and Jesus is going to go, you know what? You did a great job filling up. Here's your lifeboat. And I see empty spots. Do you? In the early service, I definitely saw lots of empty spots. And you don't have a third service yet that has, okay? So my challenge to you is be lifeboat number 14. And the older generation, you're all going to go to heaven in about 10 to 15 years. And I just want to commend you. You built our churches, you supported our churches, and you're here. You're faithful. But you need to say to yourselves, whatever it is, you got to say to yourselves, we want to reach the 20-year-olds, the 30-year-olds, the 40-year-olds, and the 50-year-olds, even if it means I'm going to be a little bit uncomfortable. Because when you leave, you're going to leave an empty lifeboat that's not going to make it. So I just want to encourage you. You built it all. You can do it. I believe you can get your prayer power and your minds together and say, how are we going to impact Norwin, where 96% of the people are lost? How are we going to reach them for Jesus Christ? So let me pray for you. Father, I just pray for this church. Lord, I pray that you would remind the older saints that were faithful here why this church was even put here. The church was planted. The church was put here to reach people for Jesus Christ. And I pray you would renew that passion, that vision, that the heart of Jesus, and that you would just, Lord, I know it's not going to be by our might. It's not going to be by our strength. It's going to be by your Spirit. And I just pray your Spirit, Lord, you would pour out the Spirit of God to empower us to be your witnesses and to share good news and to reach out to a dying world that is out there, right around here. Bless the saints in this church. And I pray, again, your special blessing on those four that have given their heart to Jesus. The angels are rejoicing in heaven, and we rejoice as well that four more are in the lifeboat. May you bless them as they live for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.